The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Centre Parks. Enjoy family time like no other.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tubridy with you. It's Monday, the 20th of March 2023 at 4 minutes past nine. Great to have your company on what is, looking outside, a beautiful spring day. The sun is shining and it's really mild and it's getting brighter and brighter in with every day and every week that goes along as we head towards summertime, and you can feel it in the air, which is great. Also, great news at the weekend with the Irish rugby team. That was tremendously exciting. So well done to them all. I mean, that the Grand Slam, it was a joy to watch. I watched it at fireside at home this time because it was just the right place and time to be looking at such a terrific game of rugby. And I was a little nervous at the beginning, the first 30 minutes. I was like, what? And then it just got better and better. So wonderful. I'm very happy for Johnny Sexton. Had a great chat with Johnny Sexton in the dressing room the last time he was in for the Late Late, and we were talking about hanging up the jersey, and we were kind of, little did he know, but I mean I knew, and I was kind of getting kind of surreptitious tips about what he was going to do after this all ended. As I was with Noreen O'Sullivan last week, talking about giving up a big job. But that's simply bringing the road back to me again. It's just a curse of my life ever since I was a youngster. Anyway, well done, Johnny Sexton. I think he's really going to be very happy because he's got a beautiful family and he really cares about them. And I think he will be minded by them and I think he's going to be fine. And he did the state some service, as the expression goes. And good on him, and thank you, is what I would say. But also to all the team and the backroom team. And let's face it, the next generation, the under-20s, had a great weekend too. I mean, that was an enormous achievement. They won the Grand Slam, which is exciting. I think they're the first under-20 side to win back-to-back Grand Slams, which is pretty exciting in terms of making Ireland the first team to complete a senior and under-20s slam in the same year. They saw off England at Musgrave Park, 36-24. Another just a terrific, what a weekend. I mean, that's Patrick's Day in the middle of it all. We did a Patrick's Day party on the Late Late Show on Friday Night Live party. And I just loved, really enjoyed meeting everyone who came through the door. And weirdly, Patrick Duffy, who plays Bobby Ewing in Dallas Once Upon a Time, played. For whatever reason, sometimes this happens in life. You just really hit it off with someone. And I really liked him. We got on great throughout the show. He was always looking over me, winking as if to say, what do you think of that? And what do you think of your man? And acting the maggot, really. And then afterwards in the green room, we were having a beer and talking about books and art and his life and his family. And geez, we exchanged numbers and said next time he's in town, he'd love to go for a pint. I said, geez, you know, of course. Just a lovely, lovely human, very charismatic. He always struck me. It was like talking to a former president. You know, he had that lovely look about him and way about him, very paternal but not patronising. Very nice mix of the two. So good on him. Yeah, lovely. But thanks to everybody on Friday. That was great. Very briefly on my decision to leave the Late Late Show, which will happen in 10. I've got 10 more shows. Very neat. 10 green Late Lates sitting on a wall every week. Be another one. But just to say, first of all, if you have my number and you've texted or WhatsApped me, my apologies for having got back to you. It's been busy. Secondly, if you've stopped me on the street or in the shop or in the restaurant or in the pub in the last 48 hours, thank you, because people have been so very, very kind. And I really appreciate it because it was a surprise decision for a lot of people. I'm very relieved today. I feel very liberated, not because I was in any way incarcerated, but I just mean in the sense that decision is out now. And I'm just very happy that that's out there now in the universe. And very quickly after I announced the decision, and I did an interview with Claire Byrne, she was great, the conversation turned beautifully to who's next. And I thought, and off you go. And good luck. And I mean that with a really positive. It's not chippy. It's a real sense of it's somebody else's turn now. And I hope they're going to be brilliant. They won't need advice from me. They need to look forward and into the future and do it their own way. And I'm sure that whoever that person will be, they'll be great. And I look forward to watching the show, maybe on a Friday night, if I'm not out, which I also intend doing. Funny when people say, well done your retirement. Well, it is a retirement from the Late Late Show. But to be honest with you, career-wise, I'm just changing lanes, but I'm still moving. And I don't know if this suits you guys listening to this show, but I'm not leaving the radio show today or tomorrow either. I can love it here as well. So this continues, this weird club of ours continues. So hang in there, as will I. And it just feels great. I got the nicest messages from the most unlikely people. I won't forget that too lightly. So there you are. Let's keep going, shall we? Enough of that for now. What have we got now? Texts are already in, which is good. A spring equinox occurs today at 9:24 p.m. So later on, which heralds the start of spring. Thanks, Bob. Don't you dare retire from the morning show. It's my hour of the day. I got so much comment about that as well. At least you're staying on the radio. Thanks for staying on the radio. And from those who like me, I mean, let's face it. I mean, thank you. So here, let's not forget, Johnny's biggest test is yet to come in the World Cup. Of course. No, I get that entirely. But in terms of Six Nations, definitely. I saw Rye Lane in the Dublin International Film Festival as the surprise film. It's in cinemas now. Highly recommended. 1 hour, 22 minutes long. The joy. So it's right up your street. It is. This is about two youngsters reeling from bad breakups who connect over an eventful day in South London. Never heard of it. We'll check it out. Thank you. Will you wake up like Bobby Ewing and find out your departure from The Late Late Show was all a dream? I hope not, because my departure from The Late Late Show is a beautiful dream for me after 14 lovely years. So no, I hope not, but I take the point. Tolu McKay was in Washington at the Kennedy Center, and Shane Gillen was tweeting about how she brought the Kennedy Center to a standstill the other evening. With a searingly, he writes, crisp version of Danny Boy, with an incredible dress by @CGarveyDesigner. Worth a quick listen. Shane Gillen is a great artist, incidentally. Had a go at my visage at one point, with great success, needless to say. will we have a listen to Tolu singing this? Yeah.
And all my
That is beautiful, because the Kennedy Center, which I've never been to, but I presume it's a big, big hall, and to have them in the palm of her hand like that, wow, amazing. Lovely person too, I'm glad to tell you. Pirates of the Caribbean star Orlando Bloom, 46, unnecessary, but Orlando Bloom made an impromptu visit to a pub in Windsor on St. Patrick's Day. And there was a live band in full swing, and he wanted to get involved, so he jumps on the stage, and this happened. I mean, that is he doing a sort of Ronnie Drew, Shane McGowan sort of
Mr. Brennan
or Pirates of the Caribbean? Good on him. He's having fun. Let's not knock. Let's enjoy. Good on him. Irish comic artist Will Sliney. He's a great guy, and he's going to be seeing his work on the small screen because Family Guy's Seth MacFarlane, who I think is remarkably talented, one of the great mimics, or not even mimics. He does his own voices and mimics. Actually, he's very funny and smart. They've secured the rights to his company, has secured the rights to his graphic novel, to, as I say, Will Sliney's graphic novel, The Shrouded College, which Will co-created with Charles Soule, or Soule. And it's a series of an interconnected set of seven adventure horror stories set for release over the next few years and will be adapted for the small screen and streamed on Peacock. Will told Geek Ireland, which is now my official favourite site, that his lips were sealed on a lot of the project, but he's excited to see how the characters translate to the screen. Well, he's in good hands there. They're all in good hands. That's a good story. Delighted about that. We spoke about the Gladiator sequel. We now know that Paul Mescal is going to be the film's protagonist, Lucius. And that was confirmed. I'm very excited about this. Loved Gladiator the first time around. And it has not been confirmed whether any cast members from the original film will be returning. But when Russell Crowe was on with us on The Late Late Show, it came up for mention.
Funnily enough, they're going to make another Gladiator, they tell me. Yeah, I'm not in it. Yeah, because I died in the last one.
So rumours of his death are confirmed and not exaggerated. There were reports apparently of a draft in which Russell Crowe's character Maximus was to be resurrected, God help us, and returned to Earth to halt the development of Christianity. But the creative direction of the sequel has diverged from this draft since then, choosing to follow Lucius instead of Maximus. Gladiator 2, due in cinemas in November 2024. Okay, well up for that. There was Eamon Ryan, the Green Party leader, shared a throwback picture of him from a trip he made to China in 1987. China, and the picture is of Eamon Ryan. I think it's here. Oh no, here it says it here. Back in 1987, I travelled through China on my own. I remember cycling with 20 people abreast along Tiananmen Square, walking the Great Wall, and then taking the Trans-Siberian train home. I loved it all. Sounds like a hell of a trip. But people were really taken aback by how well he looked in the photograph. If you haven't seen it, I'm looking at Dublin Live, so you can go on there and have a look. One said, wait, was Eamon an 80s movie star saving his younger brother and babysitter from the high school goons? They're referring to a film of some description. There was talk in the office upstairs of confusion as to why they feel so happy to see this picture. There was a lot of compliments, and that's what I'll say. There was no mockery, pure compliments, but then they were conflicted, going, I shouldn't feel this way about Eamon Ryan. Well, anyway, good on him. Nice old picture from the past, and people are enjoying that today. Ticketmaster will refund some of its fees to fans buying tickets for The Cure's US tour. Why? Well, Robert Smith, the frontman, took them to task over their unduly high fees that were in some cases adding up to more than the price of the ticket. It's insane. And he said that he was sickened, as you all are, he said to his fans, and he would contact Ticketmaster after many took to social media to complain about the ticket sales behemoth's additional fees. He says, I've been asking how they are justified. If I get anything coherent by way of an answer, I'll let you know. The band had purposefully kept tickets affordable with some as low as $20. I like when bands do that. They try and just keep the price down a little bit. People, you know, it's about a bother that in that regard, and he's going to take them on. Good. I mentioned the bins in Paris where I was last weekend, and now the French Prime Minister, it's worth watching. I think she faces two motions of no confidence in the National Assembly lower house today, after, according to the journal.ie, after forcing through an unpopular pension reform last week without a vote. So while her allies in Macron's camp have the largest number of MPs, they don't control an absolute majority in the chamber, meaning they could be defeated if the entire opposition unites in one of the ballots set for debate from four. This is, you'd want to be pretty political geek to enjoy this, as I will. But few observers believe the opposition can muster the numbers to topple the government. It's the sole question, is the pension reform indispensable or unbearable for the French public? In a sentence, Macron's campaign pledged to raise the retirement age from 62 to 64. That's the whole point of this, extending the number of years people must pay into the system to receive a full pension. Now, I listened to a podcast about this over the weekend, and apparently in France, their attitude is you work and you work and you work and you don't really like your job until you're free from work at 62 and then you live, as opposed to most, I would hope, other societies where you work and enjoy life and enjoy life and work. Work shouldn't be hateful. But it looks like, I'm sure that was the broad comment from a journalist I was listening to at the weekend. Thursday's adoption of the, it goes on and on and on, but that's why the bins are going, or the strikes are continuing. They love an old barricade in Paris, as you know. So we'll watch that from a distance today. And in other international news, Donald Trump says he will be arrested. This is going to be fascinating. Watch this one. Will Donald Trump be arrested tomorrow? And if so, will they listen to his capitalized shouting on what's his thing, Truth Social, which is his version of Twitter. He says, the far and away leading Republican candidate and former president of the United States of America, i.e. him, will be arrested on Tuesday. Protest. Take our nation back. Good man. And we can't just allow this anymore. They're killing our nation as we sit back and watch. We must save America. Protest, protest, get a protest. So he's at it again, and we will watch this tomorrow. He's to be arrested as a New York grand jury investigates his connection with a hush money payment to a porn star. Couldn't write it. Stormy Daniels, even the name. It's just, someday I'm sure we'll look back at it and go, what? It's a fever dream. It's Bobby Ewing all over again. Like, surely you all wake up. The globe emerges from the biggest global shower and says, pandemic, Trump. It was all a dream. Stephen Hawking, who wrote A Brief History of Time. In 2002, Thomas Hertog received an email summoning him to the office of his mentor, Stephen Hawking. And the young researcher rushed to Hawking's room at Cambridge. His eyes were radiant with excitement, Hertog recalls. Typing on the computer-controlled voice system that allowed the cosmologist to communicate, Hawking announced, I have changed my mind. What? My book, A Brief History of Time, is written from the wrong perspective. Thus, one of the biggest selling scientific books in publishing history, with worldwide sales credited at more than 10 million, was consigned to the waste bin by its own author. The two men then began working on a new way to encapsulate their latest thinking about the universe. Now, it's also big and hard to take in that I'll let you follow that story up if you like, but I think I'm a little more equipped to talk about bins on the streets of Paris than the future of the planet and the universe, if that's okay with you. Okay, well, I think we'll leave that there for now. We have most of the Dancing with the Stars finalists in with us this morning. I was watching it last night. It was a blast. Really enjoyed it. So we'll get to them in a few minutes' time. They're live in we've moved studios for today to accommodate them all, which is great. Brief History. Did you ever read Brief History of Time and/ did you understand it? That's a hard no to both. Okay, let's go with some music. That's the Rolling Stones and Miss You at 9:25 this Monday morning. We'll go Dancing with the Stars after this break.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, that was fun. Now we just did a quick photograph, which we will put out on all social media in the next little while. And what are we on? About 9 minutes to 10. Yeah, let's take a track. We talked about Tola McKay and our old mate Malachi. I love this song they have. This is The Light. Just wanna feel alive. Wanna get my feelings right. See it from the other side. Don't wanna lose more time. Trying to figure it out. But I was made to stray away from this place. We fade to grey just to sanctify fate. Lemonade with a dash of Tanqueray. Laughing through the pain cause I ain't felt the same since they call me by my name. I could quote Marx but I've broke from my chains. Dystopian he displays. No more soaking in the rain. No more smoking life away. No more hopeless nights choking at the train cause I was made to stray away from this place. That's a pretty song, and that's The Light from Tola McKay featuring Malachi. As dozens of cinemas in Rome are turned into shops and bingo halls, yes, young activists backed by Hollywood heavyweights have won a decade-long legal battle to save the city's largest single-screen venue from demolition. This is lovely. I love this because I do love a cinema, and especially a classic one. And a court has issued a preservation order on the 1950s Cinema America in the historic Trastevere district, marking a triumph for the activists who squatted in the 700-seater venue in 2012 to fight plans to turn it into flats. Martin Scorsese got involved, Wes Anderson got involved, Jeremy Irons, Richard Gere, Keanu Reeves all backed the campaigners. Even the Pope blessed their battle. And when the Pope starts blessing your cinema, you're in business, that's for sure. But they are, they've managed to keep it. They camped in the cinema, they kept it going, and it's going to survive, which is pretty good for them, because that's a nice thing to do. There are some lovely cinemas around the place that disappeared, so hopefully they all survive to tell the tale. So well done to them for that. Classical music, meanwhile, blasts from the public speakers throughout the Los Angeles metro stations as part of a plan to drive down crime and increase people getting using the metro, because apparently there it's just crazy, and the guns and the messing and the muggings, and so they've just thought, let's just beam essentially Lyric FM through and tell everyone. Lyric has a great, I mean, classical music, but in on my car radio, Lyric is a great, if you're adult, bang on Lyric. The presenters all have that, hello there, nothing matters, just this moment and this song and this piece of music, as opposed to putting on the news and your nerves are gone. So I can see what they're doing there, and it does make sense. Caroline's on. I really didn't get how seriously the French do strikes, but then add in traffic chaos and missed flights. Lesson learnt. Chalk it down. But they are dreaming or munching mushrooms if they think that 64 is the upper ceiling for retirement. The demographics are formidable. Formidable. We are edging towards the American model, working up to the 85th year. That said, 22% of the jobs, says Caroline, currently listed didn't exist in 2016. I think I'm going to give up this type of reading for a while. Have a great day. You have a great day. I'll endeavour to do so. Greece can't be trusted to return Elgin marbles, says historian. There is nothing to apologise for. The Elgin marbles. And that story, and I think you're not allowed to call them that anymore anyway, but they do in this piece in the Times UK. The Elgin marbles have been, that has been rumbling on since I was a kid. There's always been talk of it. But a proposal to temporarily swap the crown jewels of the British Museum for Greek artefacts described as mutual hostage taking. The arguments for returning the Elgin marbles are false or greatly exaggerated, and Greece could not be trusted to return them if they took them on loan. And on it goes. Matt, we'll take a break. I was talking about the show on Friday night, and one of the guests I had a great chat with after the show was Sam Keeley, who is in Kin, which you might have seen last night. Great actor. He was with other actors from the show with us on Friday. But turns out, anyway, he's based in Reykjavik in Iceland, and I may be going back there this time for a book festival on Icelandic noir, which I was invited to last year but couldn't go because I had toy show commitments this year. Now I can say to Ragnar Jonasson, one of my favourite authors, who invited me to interview him and the Icelandic Prime Minister on stage at their book festival, well, I can say yes now. These are the benefits of big decisions in one's life. Now, if you want to get involved, tomorrow's programme, we will be talking about different things. But one of them was when I mentioned briefly the week before last about how we kept hearing about a spate of people, young people particularly, taking their lives by suicide. And we're going to talk a bit about that tomorrow, because I feel it's not been spoken about loudly enough or enough at all. So do join us to talk about that if you wish. And if you want to talk, if you want to ask us something, or if you want to reflect on that awful issue, please do send an email to ryan@rte.ie. We'd love to hear from you. Either way, we'd like that very much. Okay, we do have to say goodbye now. It's 10 o'clock. Claire Byrne standing by. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player.